Good morning. One of the things I've heard most during orientation into college is that for the past 13 years of our lives, we have grown up around the same people. In high school, you were always known as someone or belonging to some sort of group. I was usually the smart, tall, quiet, and slightly weird boy. But when we start college, we start with a clean slate. Almost no one knows anything about you. The professors don't hear anything good or bad about your student abilities. There's a very small amount of preconceived ideas about you. So what the people at college tell us is to make the most out of this situation, to write good things on that clean slate, and make sure that people know you for who you want to be known as. While that advice is good, I can't help but think that the fact of having a clean slate, of no one knowing anything about you, attributes to the reputation of going to college. In the world, going to college can mean many things, but the majority of people think of partying and drinking. People go to college to, quote-unquote, find themselves, to figure out who they are, what they believe, and what they want in life. Unfortunately, this desire to become someone in the clean slate creates an almost ideal situation for mistakes to be made. When you have a clean slate and you're around lots of people that you don't know, what is your natural tendency? Your natural tendency is to somehow fit in with someone or some group of people. And how do you fit in? You find something that you have in common. What happens when you don't have anything in common? For some people, that means that they have to change themselves. They have to change their actions in order to fit in. So instead of finding themselves, what they're really doing is conforming to what everyone else is. Conformity is a problem. Our society is obsessed with conformity and being overly conscious of our appearance, of how we appear physically. But we aren't like that, right? We aren't like that. Or are we? How focused are you on your physical appearance? How much of your self-esteem do you base off of your appearance? How much of the obsession with appearance do you exhibit? How much of the need for acceptance through that? How concerned are you with how you look and what people will think of you based on that? These are serious questions. They tell a lot about who we are and what we value. They also tell a lot about the state of our hearts. So what does God say about appearance? Well, in Genesis 1, verses 26-27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We are made in the image of God. The way we look physically, we were made to look that way to some extent. We are crafted by God, molded by his hands. No matter how much jewelry or fancy clothes or plastic surgery we use, we cannot get away from that fact, and we shouldn't get away from that fact. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, we find Samuel going around Jesse's sons to find the king of Israel. And while Samuel is looking at Jesse's sons, God tells him that do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God does not look at the outward appearance and judges us from that. He looks at our hearts, our minds, our souls, and then judges us. This gives us some indication as to how much God cares about how we look. Even when Jesus came in the image of God himself, he was not amazingly attractive. Isaiah 53, the chapter that tells a lot of the prophecy about Jesus' life here on earth. Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 2. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus' body could have been the most beautiful human being ever to walk this earth. After all, he is our creator, and he made the human body. Jesus could have made his appearance like nothing seen before or since, but he didn't. The prophecy in Isaiah says that when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This must say something as to how important physical appearance is to God. When he was on earth, God wanted people to come to him because of who he is, not because of how he looked. God values the heart, the person, more than the appearance. What do we pay more attention to with ourselves? Do you pay more attention to your person, who you are? Or do you pay more attention to how you look? What does Jesus say about this? In Matthew 6, verses 1 through 2. 1 through 7, sorry. Matthew 6, 1 through 7. Take heed that you do not do charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And then chapter 5 and verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus tells us that our righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, what were the Pharisees doing in chapter 6? They're performing their duties, they're giving to the poor, and they're praying in order to be seen by men. What was their focus? Their focus was on the physical, on how they looked and how they appeared to others. And Jesus said that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So is Jesus saying that we shouldn't focus on the physical, on how we look and how we appear to others? Yes, I think Jesus is saying that. One of the Pharisees' problems is that they were focused on appearance. Because they're focused on their appearance, they left their other duties unattended to. Likewise, when we are focused on our appearance, we can also forget some of our more important duties, such as transforming our hearts, minds, and characters to be more like Christ. I think we all know this. I think we all know that we shouldn't be focused on our physical appearance. However, applying that to our lives is a different matter entirely. For myself, I start to ask questions. If I'm not supposed to be focused on my appearance, then I should just roll out of bed and go do whatever I want to do. Should I not make sure that my hair doesn't look like I was just electrocuted? Because it does. What about the clothes that I wear? Should I not think about what clothes I'm going to wear? What if I like a certain style of clothing? Should I even dream of having that clothing? As many of you already know by even looking at me, I like the 70s and the 80s. I like the 70s fashion, the bell-bottom jeans, leisure suits, plaid sports jackets, and the jumpsuits. But why do I like those things? Do I like how they look? Well, yeah, obviously. Do I like that people would notice me if I wore them? Yeah. What are my motivations behind liking 70s fashion? Unfortunately, they may be selfish. The same could be true with how I do my hair. What are my motivations behind it? Are they selfish? Not to get nitpicky, but we need to do this with everything. What are my motivations behind what I'm doing or what I want? Are my motivations selfish? If they are, then I need to reconsider my position. However, we cannot take this too far. We cannot and should not be indifferent to our appearance, to how we look. After all, we are made in the image of God, and there's a certain amount of respect that we should give to how God made us. Additionally, the New Testament gives us guidelines. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 through 17. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 through 17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Then chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we are told that he dwells in us. And we are told that there are consequences if we defile our bodies, if we do not take care of them. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. In chapter 6, we are told that our bodies aren't even our own, that they belong to God. God is the one that created us, he is the one that sustains us, and he is the one that has saved us. Nothing that we have is solely ours. My arm, it's mine, yeah. However, I do not own it. It is God's. We are property of God. That may seem weird, but when you think about it, it puts everything into perspective. I tend to live in my little 3-foot area. However, it helps immensely if I realize that this little area that I live in is a gift. A gift that, as chapter 6 and verse 20 says, was bought at a price. And who bought it? Jesus. And Jesus is God. So therefore, this gift that I'm living, this life, the people that are in it, and all the things that I have, is a gift paid for by God, and God owns it. This body of mine, my soul, and my spirit, they are God's. And because we're bought at a price, because this body is God's, we must use it to glorify Him. We must submit it to Him. This is the guideline that we must follow. We should not be indifferent to the physical. We should take care of our bodies. But at the same time, the physical cannot be our focus. So this leaves us with two extremes which we should not go to. We shouldn't be indifferent, and we shouldn't be obsessive. So what does this look like? Well, for me, a very good example is found in modesty. And unfortunately, modesty is usually talked about with regards to women, but men need to be modest too. To put it simply, modesty is... it is the balance between indifference and obsession. It is simply being aware. It is being aware of how we look may affect others and basing our decisions on that. It is not being indifferent, but it is not obsessive of our appearance. This should be our mindset. We shouldn't be indifferent to the physical, but we shouldn't be obsessed with it. Because what is happening when this is our focus? It takes away from the effort we should be spending changing our lives to be more like God. The root problem here is selfishness. It is focusing on myself and on my desires. How concerned are you with how you look and how you appear to others? What is your focus? Do your actions and thoughts portray that you want to be known for your appearance or for your character and how you live your life? Colossians 3, verses 1 through 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Where is your focus? Where is your priority? These are some serious questions. We need to be honest with ourselves, because what it really comes down to is who is more important in your life, you or God? This is the base question. Who are you serving? Who are you trying to glorify, yourself or God? This is a question we need to ask about everything that we do. We talked about this in class with covetousness. Do I want to glorify God in wanting this, or glorify myself? Am I doing this for myself, or am I doing this for God? We are told in Colossians 3 and verse 17 that whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Remember back in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. This is important, because what happens if we are serving ourselves, if we are serving our desires, if we are serving sin? Romans 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:5-11. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the consequence of living to glorify ourselves and please ourselves. To be carnally minded is death. To be focused on the physical is enmity against God. Whether this is in the form of focusing on how we appear or consciously and willfully sinning, we are still aiming to glorify ourselves and not God. We need to ask ourselves these questions because what is at stake is our souls. It is your soul. We need to take care of our hearts, make sure that we are in the right place. We need to be honest with ourselves and honestly evaluate whether we are focused on God or in our desires. We live in a culture that teaches us to be obsessed with our appearance. It teaches us to value conformity above individuality. We need to fight this in ourselves to make sure that in our hearts we value what God thinks more than what others think. Romans 8 verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And how do we do that? Back in Romans 8, in verse 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The opposite is a spiritual mind, which is subject to God. We are transforming our minds by being subject to Him, by submitting to Him. How are we to prove God to others? By the renewing of our minds, not by how we look, but by who we are. We need to transform our hearts by submitting to God. If you are here tonight, wow. If you're here this morning, and you want God to accept you for who you are and not for how you look. If you want to become part of this family, if you want to have a place in heaven, we invite you to be baptized for the remission of your sins.